You're listening to a Student Radio Conference 2018 podcast, supported by Abrupt Audio. For help with all things podcasts, go to abruptaudio.com.
It's Leanne here at the Student Radio Association Conference 2018, and I am now sat with Matt Edmondson. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, Leanne?
I'm good, thank you. So you've just done a talk all about making brilliant features, which I will get to, but you also had your producer, Will, with you. First of all, I just wanted to ask, how important is that relationship between you and your producer when making these features?
Will, specifically, not important at all. A producer-presenter... No, I'm just joking, of course. I love him a bit. Producer-presenter relationship, really important. You kind of need to know that you trust each other. Mm-hmm. So I need Will to know that I know what I'm up to, and I need to know from his side that he knows the direction that we're going with the show. Mm-hmm. So sometimes he knows more than I do, sometimes I know more than he does, but hopefully we come together and manage to get through the show. And I think the things that he's good at, I'm not, and the things that I'm good at, he actually probably is good at, but he lets me get on with them anyway.
So my question. So you talked a bit about the differences between active and passive features. I've never heard of anything like that before. I thought a feature was a feature. Could you explain for listeners what that difference is?
Yeah, so a passive feature is something that you would listen to that maybe you'll find funny, but it won't necessarily tickle a part of your brain that wants to make you get involved with it. Let me think of a good passive feature from our show. So on our show, something like Alphabetical, where you're listening along, and the most work you're having to do is think of the next letter of the alphabet in your head, but you're not playing a game, you're not getting involved. Mm-hmm. Whereas an active feature, hopefully we want you to be shouting at the radio or thinking, oh, yes, I know the answer to this. So games are really good for that. Mm-hmm. So the example I gave up there is if you watch a quiz on the telly and a question comes up, you almost have to be a very strange person to not try and answer that. And that's the bit of the brain that I'm trying to get to, is a bit where you go, oh, they're doing a quiz. I probably should try and work out what the answer here is. And making sure that that's not too difficult for people, maybe isn't even general knowledge based, but it's just something where they can react in a way that means they have to get involved. If there's someone else in the car or at home, then they want to turn to them and say, I have an answer to that question. I know what that is, rather than or think it in their own heads, rather than just sort of have it wash over them.
So you get to work with a lot of celebrities and stars on your show. What was the first time like when you sat with someone who maybe you really admired? How did you cope with that situation? Because I'd probably be fangirling my head off.
I don't know if there's something wrong with me, but it's never been anything that's worried me or bothered me at all. I've always thought of everyone as a human being. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't scare me. Like, I remember meeting the Queen years ago when I did Kids TV. And I was like, oh, she's just a lovely lady. She's just a female person. I never get overwhelmed by interviewing people. And I always think that part of my job is to, an important part of my job is to not get overwhelmed, because I need to make sure that I have a conversation with them that's as close to the conversation their friends would have with them, because you're trying to build that rapport as instantly as possible. So for me, I want the status to be that we're equals coming into it. And I think that makes the whole situation much more normal.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, they're just someone who's very talented at what they do, but they're still a human being. And there are loads of people, I know loads of talented people who aren't famous. Like, mm-hmm. There's a guy who bakes brilliant bread, who lives on my street, but and no one can bake bread like this guy, but it doesn't mean he's any more special than anyone else. He just does a thing well.
So what is like your most favourite thing for your show that you've ever worked on?
Do you know what? It's always the whatever the last thing I've done is. So in the talk that I did at the Student Radio Conference, we played a clip of Bryan Cranston being on the show, mm-hmm. with Molly King, who was guest hosting for a month. And we did a thing where we managed to convince Molly that Bryan Cranston was her super fan by having someone in Bryan Cranston's ear telling him all about the Saturdays. And Molly totally fell for it, hook, line and sinker. And it was an idea we had very last minute that Bryan Cranston absolutely didn't have to do. And he did it, and he played along with it really well, and that that was really satisfying. But I kind of like everything I do.
Yeah.
Anything I give a go to, I think it's good because there's a reason I'm doing it. Sometimes it transpires that it's not good, and then I just forget about it and move on to the next thing.
What advice would you give to somebody who is maybe too self-critical of their work?
I think, firstly, everyone is self-critical. Everyone has a seed of doubt, and it's a very exposing medium because it is just you and a microphone and your voice, and you and no one likes hearing their own voice back. You know, if you record a voicemail on your phone, you think, oh, God, is that what I sound like? I guess the more you do it, the better you get at it. But also listening back to it is really important because you can hear the things that didn't work so well. But you should also focus in on the stuff that does work really well and think to yourself, yeah, that was good. I'm happy with that thing. It's really easy, I think, to focus on the negative. And actually, you've got to have balance. And instinctively, it's hard to give yourself praise. But I think you do need to listen back to stuff and say, yes, that was a good thing that I did there. And also not worry about failing. If you try something and it doesn't work, it's okay, because everyone who's ever done anything good has failed at loads of other stuff at the same time, and no one gets it right first time in any creative industry whatsoever. You look at film directors, some of their early movies won't be that great and their later stuff's brilliant. Same with stand-up comedians, they'll have done Edinburgh show after Edinburgh show, and then eventually they'll get their Netflix special, and that's when everyone sees them, but there's been so much work before that. So I would say try to remember that everyone else is feeling exactly the same thing, and if you think it's a good idea inside you somehow, you will probably have a good idea.
You have so many features on your programme. You had a list on the board of the talk of just how many. How do you keep track of those?
Well, I don't. This is the problem. I don't keep track of them. And Will didn't used to be my producer, and I had a different producer. And I, at the end of him being on my show and Will then coming in, I was like, we need to write some of these things down. So whenever anyone would think of a thing that we'd done that we could do again, we'd put it on the WhatsApp group. Generally, though, things that are good tend to stick in your memory and survive a bit, and you think, oh, we've got to do that again. You get an excited feeling about it, and the stuff that was okay but not amazing tends to kind of ebb away until sometimes I think of the same idea and think it's a new idea and realise, oh no, I did that 2 years ago.
So the penultimate question, what key advice would you give to someone trying to get their foot in the door with a presenting gig like this?
I think that there's no excuse to not make stuff now. You know, you've got a microphone, your phone's got a microphone, phone's got a camera, you can edit on a mobile phone, you can edit in Instagram, you know, there's so much stuff you can do. So there's no reason to not be recording stuff all the time, even if you know that no one's necessarily going to hear it. In terms of getting into presenting, I think you do need to find out what it is that you offer that's different to what everyone else is doing. So look at Radio 1, it's like a little family, but no one really does what anyone else does. Grimmy's very different to Charlie Sloth, he's very different to Greg, he's very different to Clara, he's very different to Alice, he's very different to me, and we all do different things. And I've looked at it in not such a calculated way, but I realise that the thing that I'm not is particularly cool, and that's fine, I own that, so I'm a bit dorky. The thing that I am good at is games, and I get very angry when I play games, and I come up with lots of them. So that's a thing that I've made part of my show. And so it's about finding your voice, but it does take a little while of trying and experimenting. And then just harass people. I don't mean like literally harass them, but I mean find out who's in charge of stuff and just email them lots and make yourself aware.
So during your presentation as well, between slides where we had a bit of technical difficulties, there was a gorgeous picture of your dog.
Yes.
Do you think having a dog helps your radio career?
I think it helps my radio career because it helps my life in general. I'm a happier human being for having that dog. Gets me out of the house, gets to go on a walk, I get a cuddle with him in the evenings.
Lovely.
He does provide content sometimes, it's good to be able to talk about him. But I would say that having a dog is, forget the radio career, having a dog is just a good thing for being a human being. It's great. Makes you feel good.
Thank you so much for talking.
Thanks
to me
so
back.
Much.
Thank
I really you. Enjoyed that. That's a really good job.
The Student Radio Conference 2018 is supported by Abrupt Audio. If you're making or thinking of making a podcast, the guys at Abrupt Audio are happy to help. Check them out at abruptaudio.com and join their free podcasting community on Facebook by going to podtips.net.